Hey.
Productivity hack. Use Otter if you're too lazy. Hello, everybody. We are back again for another episode. Today, we're talking about productivity hacks and tips and tricks and our thoughts on them and talking about the biggest hack possible.
It's funny, you've literally said, right, this is tips and tricks. I've now said the title. Now I need my brain to like engage so I can work out what words I'm going to say next. So I need a tip or a trick in the morning to like wake up.
Yeah exactly.
So here's a tip, John. Here's a tip for waking up in the morning. Don't wake up so close to the start of a podcast episode.
Yeah. It says you 17 minutes.
Yeah. Am I talking? Am I loud? Am I energetic? I'm always energetic, but yeah, no, I'm always good with energy, and I don't drink any of that caffeine stuff that you have.
What caffeine stuff? Oh, this?
Tea.
Caffeine. Oh, tea. Yeah. There's very little caffeine in it.
You're just drinking tea and you pick up something else.
I was taking a sip of my tea.
A sip of your tea? That sounds very British. Okay.
Of course it is. What do you expect?
Not tea. I don't like tea.
Well, that's your problem. You are not British. It's not acceptable.
I don't like coffee either.
No, I don't like coffee either.
Yeah, I don't drink caffeine right, either. So, hacks, tips, tricks. I think these are words that are used synonymously, but aren't necessarily the same thing. And they can be just as much harm as good.
Yes.
I think sometimes potentially more. I don't want to be biased. Well, okay, let's rephrase that. I am biased and we are all biased. We can't get away from that. I don't want to be too biased in the conversation and just talk about one side of things. So I want to start off the conversation with tips, tricks, hacks being useful.
Cool. This is going to be fun.
Yeah. And the reason I say that is because some people need isn't the word I want to use, but it's the word I'm going to use because I can't think of a better word at the moment. And some people need tips, tricks, hacks. They need advice to get through things quicker sometimes. And it's not necessarily the most effective way to do things, but it gets them going. It gets them started. It gets the ball rolling. So the tip, the trick, the hack, whatever it is, could be beneficial just for getting them going. It might not necessarily be the best way, most effective way to do something, but it's still something useful. So it shouldn't be sort of like snuffed out. Oh, you shouldn't do that at all. You should never do that, because it might work for someone in a certain situation. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I agree. I think too common with productivity, it's just like, we're just going to give a set of hacks that work for everybody. Generalized advice that works for everybody. That's kind of what a hack really is, a tip and a trick. It's like, here's a thing you should do with no context attached. Okay, so I have to get up at 5 a.m. in the morning. I do not think so. Thank you very much. I've tried that, doesn't work. I let my body naturally wake up, but when my body naturally wakes up, that's when I function. Is that a tip? Or a trick? I suppose it is. It is a hack. And I think hacks are very marketable. They're easy to market. They're a little bit fancy. Five tips and tricks for you to get out of bed in the morning. You know, it's marketable.
Mm-hmm.
Now my brain's like, fuck, that should have gone down.
Just for a heads up for those that are new or are unaware, we're going to be talking about hacks in our little section later on. So that's why John was referencing. I should have written that down. And I'm glad you brought that up, because I didn't put marketing down or any of that down in my section because I wanted to talk about it now. Because when it comes to something we're going to be talking about later, yeah, I'll say later for the next episode, is content creation, and the whole world of tips, tricks, hacks is content creator focused, or sharing knowledge focused, or knowledge management focused, or just talking with other people. It's communicating. And I don't think many people sort of talk about tips and tricks and hacks when you're talking to someone face to face. You could give people advice or something like, oh, I did this and this worked for me. But you don't say, oh, this is a trick. Or from my experience, I don't go around giving people tips and tricks when I'm talking to someone.
It's very much a, you know, it's very marketing focused. It feels like a marketing trick. It's like, I'm just going to give you really short bites of information, which is fine, but it's often lacking context, which I think is the problem, is that because it's lacking context, people assume that these tips and tricks and hacks are like magic bullets that will solve everything. It's like people think Notion is a magic bullet that will solve everything. Obsidian's a magic bullet that will solve everything. If you just use this one tool, everything will be fixed and perfect because it's a hack. Well, no, it's not. The biggest hack is understanding how you work. If you can really get to a point where you know who you are, know how you function naturally, then you can then start self-selecting those little tiny little nuggets of information that's helped certain people and understand how you actually work. Whether it's a hack, it probably isn't, but I'm going to call it a hack because it's marketing.
So it's interesting. Obviously, we're going to be talking about hacks later, so it's hard to... I don't want to talk about the meaning of a hack while going through it, but the idea of a hack being just marketing isn't quite in the same thing in my mind. But when I think of a hack, I think of something, like you say, decontextualized. It doesn't have as much context as it could do. And with the sharing of tips and tricks and hacks and the explanation of them, I think is what makes it so difficult to either use or not use. Because if you've only been given a couple of words or a couple of pointers or just this one thing to do, what about the nuance? What about this? What about that? It's when you see the tips that contradict one another that you've got like five tips to do this, five tips to do that. You watch both videos and they like contradict one another. Then you're like, how can tips for the same thing be literally polar opposite? And this is where, for me, I would much rather have a tip, trick, hack that is justified by some sort of reasoning. Maybe that's scientific reasoning, understanding, science, something, rather than an anecdotal experience and say, hey, I've done all of this stuff because this, I mean, this is a reaching statement right now, but most of the tips, tricks, hacks that I see that are shared are, I've had this experience, I've lived like this, I've done this for X amount of time, and I did these things. These things helped me. I'm going to now tell you to try it or do it because it worked for me, which is fine, but it's an anecdotal experience. Oftentimes, like one or two people has done it. But it's the entirety of that environment that has made the tip, trick, hack work for that person, not just the thing by itself, most of the time, from what I see. So the tip is live like me. that's what I get. I'm like, you can't just do that.
Yeah, and I think, like, touching on the fact that most tips and tricks kind of contradict each other, I think that's an essence of humanity, is that everything's a paradox. I'm kind of got a processing note on the essence that life is just a paradox. It's a hell of a lot of weird shit that contradicts each other, but actually works when you just sit down. I think I think the obsession with hacks is, it's a shortcut. It's just to make life a little bit easier, but often makes life harder because you're trying to push yourself in a box that doesn't fit you. And understanding how you work, although I call it a trick and a hack, it's not a hack, it's hard. Like, taking the time to just go, okay, how do I actually work here?
Okay, so maybe this is an assumption that we both brought on it, but does a hack, tip, trick have to be easy?
Interestingly, normally, yeah.
Well, yeah, that's what I was thinking. I was like, normally when you think of those sort of words and terms, it's easy, but they don't necessarily always have to be easy, because some of the tips and the tricks aren't easy to actually execute. So does that mean that a tip, trick, hack can be difficult? And if so, why do I not see them?
Yeah, that's an interesting question.
Because when you see the advice that's given, it's normally, oh, you can just do this, or you can just do that.
I have a video on that. I don't know whether you actually primed that up, but...
I didn't prime it, but it was in my mind. But yeah, and there's very little, what I see anyway, where...
Substance?
If you're giving actual advice, like the harder advice, the harder hacks and the tricks and the tips, they're not called tips, tricks and hacks anymore, because it requires effort. So I feel like there's an assumption that if there's effort, it's no longer a tip, trick or hack. It's now what you should be doing.
Yeah, exactly. Or, I agree.
Like health advice.
I'm kind of the same thing. That's exactly where I am with that. It's like, it's got to be quick. It's got to be simple. It's got to be doable, fast and easy. But the problem is, it's so interesting, because like most of the hacks, tips and tricks that I've ever seen on the internet in our space are shit for me, and they've never worked. They've given me a hit of dopamine, and then I'm fed up because it's still not working. It's like,
I think for me, one of the things with the in our space, the productivity space, and even in like the tools and performance and the rest of it, when you see a tip, trick, hack, a piece of advice given, it's then repeated by other people. So you'll see like the 30-day challenge videos, and you're like, oh, here's like the next 40 people that have done the same thing. And it's recency bias, because we've seen the thing so many times, or we've heard the thing so many times, and it's just the thing people do. You're sort of lulled into this false sense of I need to be doing this, I should be doing this, because it's the tip that everyone does, the trick that everyone uses, but it's not necessarily any good, because it might not have any substance behind it, i.e. science, research, critique or anything behind it, or it might have misinformation behind the basis of it. Well, I mean, again, I'm going back into science, like the study, the book, the article, the blog, wherever it originally came from could be a load of toot. Someone may have woken up one morning and gone, hey, let's write about this. It does really, really well in a blog. And then someone gets hold of it, and then social media blows it out of proportion. And then suddenly it's the next big tip, trick, thing. And then it's suddenly just like, oh, actually, no, someone just came up with something.
Yeah. And I think this goes into the business world, just to bring it into my world of like, everyone's looking for the next hack. When Clubhouse started, everyone freaking jumped on it. Notion users, everyone was like, yeah, I'm going to start Notion. I'm going to become really successful. How many of you are still on Clubhouse, guys? And I think it's dangerous to assume that a hack is bad. I don't think it's bad. It's necessarily a bad thing. I think it becomes better when you have context. For a tip and a trick to be useful, there needs to be some nuance and context. There needs to be the pre-work of understanding how you function as a human being, as an individual. Once you have that understanding and that space to go, okay, so this is how I really function. I function well like this. I don't function well like that. I notice this and I notice that. It gives you the capacity to think about what hacks actually work. And with the huge understanding that they don't work for long. They are just... they're unsustainable. Well, I believe they're unsustainable anyway.
It's funny, while you I love using analogies in my mind. That's how I remember most things, because I create a story or a narrative in my head, and then I attach it with other stories, and that's how I remember stuff. And while you were talking, I was thinking, you know what? It's kind of like a shortcut with on a keyboard, right? A hack, tip, trick, whatever. The shortcut, you need the keys to actually use it. So you need the keys, but then you need the keyboard, but you also need a screen so you can see what's going on, but you also need like the PC for it to work, and then you need the program. So the shortcut is just Control S for save, but for save to work, for save to mean anything to you, to actually make an impact, you need to have like a keyboard, a mouse, a screen, a PC, and then a program to have something to save something
and
to.
And the coding of that program to use the actual shortcut.
Exactly. So,
that's good. I like that.
So to manipulate the shortcut, to actually use the tip, trick, hack, whatever it is, you need loads of other stuff as well. And if you haven't been given all that stuff and you're just given whatever it is, like if I say to you, I don't know, use Windows A, but you're a Mac user, that's absolutely useless.
And it's context. It's always fucking context. Context is probably the biggest tip, trick, and hack you could ever have, because it actually works. Because it works for everybody. Have context, understanding, discernment on, hey, I hate this, I like that. I want this, I don't want that.
And I would also add, like, going behind, like whenever we say I hate this, it's obviously a comparison to what, and then why. Like why do I like or why do I dislike this comparison between either what I've done or what they've done or what I've seen or whatever is going on. And the comparisons that we make therefore require reasoning, and that reasoning is based on our understanding, and that's where our learning comes in. And the learning element of understanding is going to impact how impactful the advice given is, because at the end of the day, most advice, tips, tricks, hacks are actions, or there's something for you to do, either an action you take or something that you think about, which requires effort.
And in fact, I have a whole massive long 6-page article on this entire subject, which I'll link below, of like business advice, hacks, tips, tricks, and how to look past them. Because it's a real big problem in the business world. It's like, join TikTok. Well, if you hate dancing around and looking like a fool, don't join TikTok.
You don't have to dance around like a fool. You could draw, you could smash glass, you could do loads of stuff on TikTok.
You've got to look like a bit of a you've got to be entertaining. You've got to be fun. You've got to be engaging, more so than you have to be on YouTube, I would go as far as to say.
I think it's a different type. I wouldn't
say
it
is very different. I think you've got to be animated on TikTok and entertaining on YouTube.
I think there are very different ways of doing content on TikTok, because it's such a short platform. You could do a time lapse in, I don't know, 10 seconds of a piece of art or a project or something, and that time lapse just be like the entertainment itself, so you don't have to do anything, you just show what you've done. Whereas on YouTube, you could actually do that as a time lapse and explain what's going through. So the way I see TikTok and YouTube is content, like platform, slightly different. Is TikTok is kind of like the highlight reel.
but if you want to be, so in the business sense, it's like everyone's using them now. It's like Reels as well. Instagram Reels, TikTok, I kind of put them in the same boat because they're basically the same thing. There may be some different nuances to that, but it's like I see people doing the funky weird dances and they look uncomfortable as hell.
Yeah.
And it's like, just stop doing that to yourself. Either figure out how to make it work for you or don't do it.
I think that's where understanding the why behind your actions, the why behind the tips, tricks, hacks, the context, plays such a big role. Because, I mean, you're using TikTok as an example. Why is someone on TikTok? I could say the same for myself. Like, why would I be on LinkedIn? What would I want to do on LinkedIn? Why would I want to create content on LinkedIn? Why would I want to create content on TikTok. Why would someone in business want to do A, B, C, D? What's their purpose? What's the context? What's the reason behind doing the thing?
What's the intention?
Well, yeah, exactly. And if you don't know the reason, then the action doesn't have a purpose. If the action doesn't have a purpose, then you're wasting your time. Do something else or figure out what you need to do.
Yeah, and that's the thing. If you don't understand and have any context and nuance, you're fucked. Like, you just end up jumping from problem to problem. I have a video that I think will be... Yes, the video will be out by the time this episode goes. Around that, trying to build a business on a problem, a void. And it's like, the void is you. The problem is like solving every single tiny little thing and jumping from fire to fire to fire to fire the entire time. And if you're going to do that the entire time, then you can't build a sustainable business, because you're building something on nothing.
Something I also want to add very quickly is with hacks, I think we can associate a hack with something that speeds things up, but it can actually slow things down. And when you look at some of the hacks in the productivity space, like flow state or get rid of external distractions and all the blooming apps, like, oh yeah, I'm going to do the Pomodoro app timer thing, whatever. I'm not saying Pomodoro is bad or good. My personal preference is not to use it. It's a nice guideline, but it's a nice starting point. But the hack could be to actually slow down, do less rather than do more. So
it's not as sexy.
Oh yeah,
that's the problem. It's slow down.
Yeah, it doesn't sound as nice.
Yeah, I had a conversation with a client. You need to fire some people. That's not sexy, but that's a hack. It will help you to be more sustainable. Slow the fuck down. Damn it. One day we'll be able to do a clean episode.
Oh, you swore earlier. It's fine.
Good. It's like...
And there's something that's going on locally with me. So the Brighton University Eastbourne campus, which is where I've been going to university, the long story short, they're thinking of getting rid of it. It's been a university in Eastbourne for like, I don't know, 50, 60 something years, and they're thinking of getting rid of it in 2025. It's something going through. But what the university have done is basically gone, oh, okay, we're going to do this thing behind the scenes, and then suddenly just say, oh, by the way, it's disappearing. And it's suddenly this big shock to everyone. And when I look at the announcement videos of 30-day challenges, tips, hacks, whatever, that come up, that's how I sort of feel. It's like this, oh, okay, there's this new thing. And you feel this thing, but the difference here is, when there is an action to be taken, you can feel something like, oh, that's going to be good, or oh, that's going to be bad. Whereas with the hacks and the tips and stuff, you're like, oh, okay, cool.
Yeah,
there's no emotional response to it. It's just,
yeah, it's a
cool.
Uh-huh.
And what? what's it's like, I want the next. What else? Is there something else to that? Exactly. And it's when I see those announcements, this is obviously partly to do with like the media and the way that the internet works, but it's so much about quantity rather than quality. And you look at the videos or the tips and the tweets and the blogs and the articles and the rest of it, and like, there are so many words used to say one thing. You're like, okay, so if I was to summarize this big video, this big guidance, this big revolutionary thing, you're telling me to do something that my parents have been telling me to do since I was like 4. Cool. So. And it's one of those things that I really struggled with when moving into the space of productivity. Like, what do I talk about? Because all this stuff is so friggin' obvious. Like,
yeah.
Duh. If you're not doing that, like, I don't understand why you would. It's because most of us can give ourselves the advice. Most of us know what we should and shouldn't be doing. Most of us know that exercise is more or less beneficial for us in most use cases. We shouldn't be eating loads of rubbish. We shouldn't be flying all over the planet. We shouldn't be doing loads of things that we do, but we still do it. And having someone tell us to do something isn't going to change anything. Oh, look, there's a tip, trick, hack to shortcut this way. No, it's work. It's effort. Everything's effort.
Yeah.
Sorry, a little bit of a rant there.
Yeah, and I think that's the problem, isn't it? It's everyone wants the answers without putting in the effort.
I'm gonna relate this to what I'm researching at the moment in sports coaching. Try and be brief. But sports science. When someone says sports science, to most people, that means sports scientists, i.e. lab coat. And it will oftentimes be physiology, strength and conditioning maybe will be brought up. Psychology is often going to be brought up. Maybe biomechanics will be brought up in there. Performance analysis may be brought up in there. But that's about the extent of sports science and what sports science means to most people. But when you actually go into sports science, there are so many fields. And what is interesting to me that I thought I'd bring up is when you look at sports science, sports medicine is obviously part of sports science. And the medical field, i.e. being a doctor, being a physiotherapist, being soft tissue massage, all the rest of that, is part of healthcare. So part of healthcare, a lot of doctors aren't, I don't want to say aren't qualified, because it makes them sound unqualified, but they are unqualified to work with a lot of sporting athletes, because of the context shift. But the expertise of sports scientists is almost level with the doctors, the qualifications of the doctors. It's not quite as broad and as nuanced and specific with diseases as doctors, but for human performance and the sports science element, there are so many things behind it. But when you see sports science as a word, you're like, oh yeah, just a couple of things here and there. Actually, no, it's extremely complex. But doctors have a status that sports scientists don't have. And there are loads of other examples in professions where you can see that. I mean, marketing and sales. Marketing is much more fluffy and nice than sales, but they're still very, very similar. And when it comes to that perception of what it is to start with, that whatever the advice is, unless you have a good understanding, a deep depth understanding of something around it, like we used with the keyboard and the technology example, if you don't have an understanding around it, you can't fully grasp what the hack, tip, trick is actually going to help.
Yeah, it very much. That's the problem. It's all goes back to context. And we've basically spent the whole episode talking about context, because I think we spend most episodes talking about context, actually, to be fair. Because in the space we inhabit, there is a lacking of context.
Individualized medicine is better than global advice.
Yeah, and unfortunately, individualization isn't something that happens in business nor in...
It's because it's so difficult. I don't say difficult as in it's difficult to do. I say difficult as in it's difficult to execute because of the way society has been not necessarily built, but certainly the way that it functions. I mean, education is the easiest example. How the hell does a teacher give individualized advice to 30 people at once or more? It doesn't happen. You can't do it. Differentiation in a classroom is nigh on impossible for a teacher.
And that's a big problem, isn't it? Is then everyone assumes they have to behave in a certain way. And particularly in the space I inhabit, there are a lot of people who are neurodiverse to label, because it's an understandable label. But there are people who don't function in the same way as everybody else. And then you'll get being shoved with these stupid pieces of advice that lack nuance, lack anything. And it's all just about quickness and speed. And so you have people who sit there going, oh, well, I can't do that. And that doesn't work for me. I'm lazy. I'm not good enough. I can't do this. I can't do that. And there is just this huge problem of like business owners being manipulated by massive, huge companies who force you down a funnel to do a certain thing in a certain way because it's quicker, because it's a hack, it's a tip to get 10K, you know, but it doesn't matter. Like, what's important is you know where you're going and what you want to do and have that intention, a clear intention of where you want to go. So I hit a wonderful goal as of time of recording on October of like, I reached 10K, £10,000 in a month. That's cool. Celebration. I'm happy about that. That's a thing to celebrate. But it didn't happen through hacks. It happened through working, through reaching out to people, through being on a call for 7 hours yesterday. 7 hour call. And is that sexy?
It's literally like a conference.
Yeah, well, it was multiple calls, all pretty much back to back. But I don't mind that because it's how I like to work. It's how it's like, oh, how could you be on calls all day? Because they're very different people who I'm talking to. It's like this thing of, oh, you shouldn't be on calls all day. Zoom fatigue. Yes. So when I'm fatigued, you know what I do? I stop.
No, you can't do that. Hustle. Hustle culture, grind.
Yeah, it's like, okay, so I'm spending 6.5 hours, 7 hours working. So I'll just stop. But that's a choice I've made. If I want to change that, I will. And yes, I can still make 10K if I want to. But now I've hit that, what's next? It's like, do I really care about much more right now? No. Will I? Probably. But the intention for me is to hit it regularly. Because once I've done that, then literally all of my bills are paid for. I can spend more time with my children. I can enjoy, and I can do more for people who can't afford to work with me. The reason why a lot, like my intention with my content and things like this is for people who can't afford to work with me because I cost money, because I value my time, because I want to spend more time with my kids, and people like shortcuts. It's like you can pay me and then you get a shortcut. Or you just listen to every single thing I've ever written. And I write a lot now. And you'll find all the answers. It will be a little bit less nuanced, of course, because I can't be very nuanced with every single human being in socials. Although my email list does that because I'm a nerd.
Yeah, I think when it comes to leaning back onto a conversation we had about education, I think it was like the Learning Hubs. Content is a great way to give generalized advice with some nuance, but for more specific nuance, that's where the communities have got to come in somewhere, somehow.
Yeah. And I think it's just...
But a lot of people don't want to go into those communities, so they don't want to spend the time and effort to find the nuanced answers that they're looking for. And those are the people that are the ones looking for the quick tip, trick, a hack, just to do something and then move on. And they're probably going to end up going back to the same problem in a month's time and get the same result because they haven't
complained that, this tip and trick is shit, doesn't work. It's like, yes, it does. Just not for you. You lack the nuance. You lack the understanding. You lack the thing that you need. And chances are the person sharing that tip, trick and hack also lack that nuance and understanding. There's not enough time to fit it into a 7-minute YouTube video. You know, you can't fit that, which is also why it took me so long to start making content again. Because it's like, how can I put nuance into what I say? People don't often want to consume that nuance. Very particular people do. But I had this experience recently where I made a video basically summarizing my whole philosophy. And it was 4 or 5 minutes long. And I was freaking the fuck out. I was like, this isn't enough. And I got a reply from the person I recorded it for, and she was there like, no, this is great. I mean, not to say the rest of your videos aren't great, because they are, this one is really digestible for people when they're first getting started. And I'm like, yes, but it is lacking every single bit of nuance that needs to be there. My videos are only the length of time it needs to be because I want to have the nuance and the specificity that is needed to understand how to get started. Because what I talk about isn't a tip, trick, and hack. It isn't the 10 ways you can earn more money in 2022.
How many videos are going to be titled that?
I might actually just make a joke video. 10 ways you can earn money in 2022. Learn how you work.
End conversation. I mean, it's when I see those tip videos of whatever it is, how to earn money, how to get to sleep, how to be more productive, how to do whatever. It's almost like I want to watch them just to see what funny things they come up with. And I swear some of these people go, oh, I've got 6 points, but 6 isn't a very nice number. Let's add 1 to make it 7. Or I've got 8. Let's add 2 to make it 10 or whatever. And you're just like, you're adding things to make the number look nicer on the thumbnail or in the title. And it just makes me laugh. Just makes me laugh because you can see them as they go through. You're like, okay, that's kind of a repeated point. That's also a repeated point. That's actually not a point at all. And that one, you're just reaching. Oh, okay, half this video was just you making stuff up.
Yeah.
Which is why I want references. If people put references with their work, they could actually say, oh, okay, this is a point and this is where it was spoken about. Otherwise, you just make it up as you go along,
and it's annoying.
Yeah. So let's get to this meanings behind words.
Oh, this is going to be fun. I mean, to be fair, we pretty much spoke about most of this. So
yeah, I think we've covered a lot of it, which is why I thought, hey, let's go through it. So some of the points that I've got have already been raised. So I'll bring up a couple of them that have been raised, and I would imagine you've got something similar. So I've got shortcuts to things. That was one of my points.
Yeah, mine's a little bit more negative.
Yeah, so I've shortcuts to things, overlooking nuanced, individualized advice are like the three middle points, which I think we covered quite well.
Yeah, it's basically most of my points are rather negative. Because I hate hacks. I really, my bias is if you were looking for a positive reflection on hacks, go speak to Ali Abdaal and someone else. Don't speak to me.
We were both thinking of the same person then.
Like, go speak to Abby, go speak to someone else because you're not going to get it from me. You'll get nuance and you will like it. An inefficient shortcut that ends up causing more problems than needed.
So that kind of goes in line with my first point. My first point, when I think of a hack, I think of an axe hacking at a bit of wood, right? So instead of it being like a chainsaw and it cuts nice clean through, you're sort of just hacking at it. So you're leaving bits behind.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Same. That was exactly what was going through my head when it is. It's just like, we're going to get it done as quick as possible without thinking of the context, the nuance. It's a workaround to save time, but it often causes some unintended consequences. Because it does. Because every time you try to hack something, there is an unintended consequence of your hack.
Yeah, and you leave bits behind. You either need to polish bits off or... behind,
and often it's nuance.
Sometimes you don't need to consider the nuance because the hack could be useful, but other times it's pretty important, especially when you're looking at business or just like life advice and like healthy living.
I'm going to poke at that one a little bit more because I don't agree. I think sometimes hacks are useful. With what you were saying there, yeah, but for you to know that it's useful, you need to have the nuance to understand, at least some background knowledge that it will be useful when you do it. How will you know it's useful?
Because you've got to where you wanted to go.
But you have to have the context of where you wanted to go.
No, you don't need all the context. If you want to go from A to B...
So, okay, yeah, some context, though. I think it...
You can't have something without context. If something has no context, then it doesn't exist. Because then if it doesn't have context, then you're not conscious that you're doing something, which means it doesn't exist, so it can't be a conversation.
Well, I mean honestly, some of the hacks, tips and tricks don't really have any thought put into them.
Yeah, but there's different.
Get up at 5 a.m. in the morning. Why? Oh, because a scientist told me to, right? Okay, why?
Well, yeah, but if you just leave at get up at 5 a.m. in the morning, could it help someone? Yes. Do they need to understand why? No. But it could help them.
Could.
Well, yeah, that but that's the same with all advice. It could help, it might not. But yeah. you don't need full contextual understanding of the nuance behind circadian rhythms, sleep cycles, etc.
I think it's more nuance of how you. I'm not necessarily meaning the nuance of the hack. I'm more of the nuance of you, of like, how would you function if you got up at 5 a.m.? Like, does that work for you? The nuance of your environment, not of the actual hack itself.
But then doesn't that require you to either have experimented with it or have done it in some way to experience whether it's going to be useful or not?
That's true. Yeah. But then if you come at it from an experimentation, I think there is the nuance there. It's like, this is an experiment. I'm just trying this. Mm-hmm. I think to me, that's where the nuance is there. I obviously used a more tangible nuance, but if the nuance is, I'm just going to try this to see if it works.
See, I wouldn't say that's nuance. I would say that's giving a purpose behind, like giving an intention behind the context.
Yeah.
So maybe a difference of terms, but yeah, I would say you can still find a hack useful without loads and loads of context and nuanced understanding. But for it to be beneficial moving forwards, you'd then need to reflect, and that reflection, I think, then adds the nuance that you were alluding to.
Yeah, yeah, a manipulation of the way someone or something is working. It's manipulation. You are trying to manipulate a way of working to hack it.
Expand on manipulation, because everything is a manipulation of something. So is there something else you could add in there?
It's
because by saying manipulation, you're saying there is a best practice, good way, right way to do something, and you're manipulating it in a different way that is supposedly better or more efficient in some way. So how do you know what the gold standard is?
Well, a hack is often seen as the most efficient way of doing things. You just hack things to get, well, yeah.
Sorry for pulling it apart, but
yeah, no, it's good. I like, that's what the point of these conversations it is. It's like,
because yeah, there isn't a gold standard for everyone.
No. Well, I think the gold standard is to understand how you work. That is a gold standard.
Within reason, because you can understand how you work, but it doesn't necessarily mean you're going to be able to do that thing, work in that way.
If you have an understanding of how you work, then it's the way you naturally work, so you would be able to work in
what's natural.
You natural is how you function, just
naturally. Naturally, do humans work on computers? Naturally, do people work in time zones, etc., etc.? It's partly down to, from my understanding, partly down to environment. The environment you've been brought up in, past experiences, future experiences, expectations. So we are shaping how we work through past and future and present experiences, and that will change moving forwards, because how you work now will probably be different to how you work
absolutely
tomorrow.
But I think it's it's constant reevaluation, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which therefore means it's not how you work, it's how you're going to work. Because what you're doing is you're using your prior understanding, your prior knowledge, your prior experience of how you're working, and predicting how your actions will be tomorrow, which will then guide the actions you're going to do to get the work done. But that doesn't necessarily mean it's going to happen, because family issues may come up. So how you work is actually going to be different tomorrow, but you've made a prediction about how you're going to work. And that's where the dissonance between what you expect to happen and what actually happens can cause issues, which is where I think our understanding of our own small differences, small potential expectations of what could happen, that can change how we work, because how we work is going to be different day to day.
I like that.
I do have another point that I haven't raised, but I'm not sure how I'd go about explaining it. Essentially, I've put the necessity and priority. And the reason I've put those in there, like necessity and priority, is because a lot of the time when people are looking for tips, tricks, hacks, shortcuts, there is a deadline. There is something to worry about. There's a friction, or there is some reason for urgency, whether that is perceived urgency of I need to do this because I feel like this, or I need to do this because I've got a deadline, or whatever. There is this perceived urgency of needing to get something done. So they think, okay, there's a necessity to cut corners, which cut corners isn't always hacks, but a lot of the time hacks
help you cut corners.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lazy decision.
I'm not a fan of that one, because I think a lot of people can put a lot of effort in making a hacky decision, but not necessarily be the most appropriate use of effort. I mean, if you think about the amount of videos people watch about hacks and tips and tricks to do something, that's a lot of effort put into a really poor decision.
Yeah, but it's outsourcing the responsibility. That's the way I see it.
But is that being lazy?
Good question.
And if you've got someone that spent 3 hours researching the best ways to get to sleep, watching videos and reading up blogs and articles, all of them talking about tips, tricks, and hacks, I wouldn't say that's lazy. I'd say that's poor research.
Yeah, that's probably, yeah. Maybe we should put lazy down as a word. I think we should.
Maybe. Yeah, I think there is a difference between research and research, fact-checking, and consuming are very different things. I think a lot of people do a lot of consumption, but they don't do a lot of research.
Yeah.
And I would also say a lot of people that do research don't do a lot of fact-checking. And yeah. I'm not going to call out names, but I'm going to call out a lot of YouTubers that love to say, I do research for videos. I'm like, yeah, you do a lot of research. You do a lot of research for videos. But just because you read one article that's in PubMed does not mean you understand the topic area. Just because you've got one research paper that says this thing does not mean you can suddenly make a conclusion about this. Just because you've watched a podcast of some person or listened to a lecture from some lecturer that's got loads of experience does not mean you have suddenly gained all of their experience from listening to that 2-hour thing. It takes way more time than that. So it's one of my gripes at the moment with content, like looking at content, trying to make my own content on science, is okay, I'm trying to put science behind things. And I look at videos and they're giving the tips, tricks, and hacks, and they're using references, using resources. Like, one reference is not enough. A meta-analysis, maybe. One reference is not enough.
Give me all the references. I think that the problem with that is that the amount of effort it takes to put that much reference in is only going to really count for people like you. Bear in mind that content, I think this is kind of going into the next conversation. I think content is for the mass population.
We might need to save this for the next conversation then, because I got a lot of opinions to share.
And I think that's the problem. It's like, it depends on who you're producing content. You know, I have so many things. Let's just stop there so we can hurry up and get to the next conversation. So watch us next week's episode where we're going to actually talk about the content creator and content and stuff like that. So
yes.
See you next week.